Exodus chapter number 14, and let's stand together, and we'll read several verses and then be seated. Probably a familiar passage to most of you in here. And Exodus chapter 14, and look at verse number 8. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with an high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them in camping by the sea. And it gives a couple of big names of areas there. Verse 10, when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said, and by the way, this is the wrong way to cry out to the Lord. They're murmuring and complaining. They said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I want to preach this morning on this this title, Encamping by the Sea. You see it there in verse number 9, that the Pharaoh and the Egyptians overtook the children of Israel as they were encamping by the sea. Now, I have no doubt that there are many in this room this morning encamping by the sea. And I think you'll understand it in just a moment, all right? Lord, would you bless the message this morning? Would you help us? Lord, this is a message for Christians, really for anybody going through trials in life. But Lord, I'm preaching as if folks are already saved in here this morning. So, Lord, if there's someone here that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, if they cannot look back in their life and know of that moment in time where they realized they were lost and needing to be saved, and they realized that Christ died for them and paid their sin debt on the cross, and at that moment they prayed to the Lord and asked Him to save them. Lord, if they cannot remember that moment, I pray that today will be the day that that moment happens. I pray that today will be the day of salvation for that person in this room, whether they be a teenager or an adult. I pray for their salvation today. Lord, I pray that Christians will be challenged from Your Word today on how to handle our trials the right way. Bless, I pray, and we'll thank you for what you'll do, and we'll ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. In our text, the children of Israel had been delivered by God from Egyptian bondage. God had used Moses to lead them out of Egypt. Most of you know that story. Suddenly, they find themselves trapped between Egypt and the Red Sea. Behind them was Egypt. Before them was the Promised Land, but between them and the Promised Land was an obstacle, the Red Sea. They feared that this was the end, that they had gone as far as they could go. Look at verse number 10 again. When Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Okay, so they had left Egypt. They had been given a promise of the Promised Land, but right here between them and the Promised Land is the Red Sea. And you could tell by their attitude there, they thought, this is it. We're going to die right here by the sea. They began to think foolishly. They began to make crazy statements. Look at verse number 12. Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? Here's a more foolish statement. For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Okay, so they're making foolish statements. We'll come back to that in a little while. But yet Moses, the man of God, stood up and challenged them to trust God. Verse 13, Moses said unto the people, "Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today, as he always does and always did in those days and always does for us today." God came through for his people. Verse 15, the Lord said unto Moses, "Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea." Look on down to verse number 19. Let's see it actually happen here. Verse 19, "And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night." Okay, so God stood between Egypt and between Israel. Verse 21, "Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord called the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided." You believe your Bible, don't you? I don't have to have it explained to me. I don't have to have someone with that degree, Brother Daniel just saying a moment ago about not having some fancy degree. I don't have to have it explained to me. If God's Word says it, that settles it in my life. In verse 22, the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. No doubt they had a little fear as they walked through there. In my mind, I have no doubt at all that my son would be trying to fish as he went through that Red Sea there and see what he could catch. But I believe they did walk straight through that Red Sea on dry ground because the Bible says so. "And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians." Now, this is one of the funniest verses in the Bible, verse 25. "And took off their chariot wheels." You take their wheels off. "That they drove them heavily," and then they tried to drive them anyways with no wheels, dummies. So that the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians." I don't want to get ahead of myself, but later on we're going to talk about how we act during times of trial. Go ahead and pick that up there. It just fell out of the Bible on accident there. James did it, didn't he? You having to pick it up, JJ? What a friend. Man, what a buddy. All right, so the Egyptians say, "Man, let's get out of here. God's working on their behalf." Wouldn't it be something if, when we face our trials, we face it the right way so that the world said, "Man, God works on their behalf." We don't always have to have our trials fixed. We don't always have to have our prayers answered our way to have a right attitude about it. "The Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand," verse 26, "over the sea, that the waters may come again unto the Egyptians upon their chariots and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it. And the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea, and the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the hosts of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left." Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Okay, so God did a great work. Israel came to that Red Sea see. They thought it was over with. They thought they were going to die. But yet God made a way. And he parted that sea and brought them through the sea. And they survived. Now, most in here can say today that you've been born again. You've been saved. You've been delivered from sin's bondage. Egypt and Pharaoh is a picture of the world and the devil and sin's bondage. And just as the children of Israel, you and I were promised, just as they were promised, a land flowing with milk and honey. So God has promised you and I a blessed life, a victorious Christian life, if we'll just obey Him. The Bible says in John 10 and verse number 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's what the devil wants to do. But Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. The Bible says in John 13 and verse number 17, if you know these things, talking about some scripture that he had given them. But he said, if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. He said in John 15 and verse number 11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Okay? So just as God took Israel out of Egypt, and he said, I've got a place flowing with milk and honey for you, and they're headed that way thinking, man, that's what I want, and all of a sudden here's this obstacle, and they think, well, I guess I'm never going to see that. So the same way God brings us out of the grip of Satan, the bondage of sin, he saves our soul and he says, I want you to be blessed. I want you to be happy. I want you to have fullness of joy. I want you to have an abundant life over and above what you'd ever expect. I want you to have that. And you say, man, that sounds good to me. And then all of a sudden you wake up one day and there's a Red Sea right in front of you. And like the Israelis did, many of us do that. Well, I guess I'll never be happy again. Well, I guess I'll never have that peace that passes all understanding. Well, I guess I'm just not going to be the type that gets to go to that level. I guess I'll just never have that victorious Christian life. While God promises us joy and blessing and peace if we'll obey Him, sometimes we are obeying Him the best we know how. And yet those troubled waters, they still come, don't they? Lord, I'm going to church. And Lord, I'm raising my family right. And Lord, I'm living right outside of church the best I can. And Lord, we're tithing. And Lord, we're taking care of missionaries like the one we had here on Wednesday night. God, I'm doing everything. The Bible says, the best of my knowledge and the best of my ability, I'm doing everything to be faithful. And God, I want to get over there. But suddenly, it seems like those great and precious promises are beyond our reach. Because right in front of us is a great Red Sea. Now, what the devil wants is for us to get focused and to stay focused on the Red Sea. And remember again, he wants to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants us to think that life will never get better, that we're never going to be happy again, that we're never going to live that blessed Christian life. But I want you to know that the devil is a liar. What is the Red Sea in your life right now? I try to pray for you on a regular basis as a preacher and as a pastor and as a friend. But I tell you what, there are some times in ministry, and Brother Anderson, I'm sure you've felt this, and Dad, you've felt this as longtime pastors, but there are some times in ministry where we'll go through like a month's time, and I'll recognize so many burdens in people's life that I think, man, I need to take that prayer up a notch. I mean, man, there are a lot of folks with a lot of battles in the church right now. And friend, listen, I don't know what your Red Sea is, but you do. Maybe your Red Sea is health. I don't know what your age is. Doesn't matter what your age is. I mean, our health could fail at any time, right? I went into the doctor Monday for my checkup just so I could get my prescriptions refilled on blood pressure medicine. And I told the doctor as soon as she came in the room, I said, man, I was going to tell it like this. I'm at my worst right now. I said, I promise you, it's been a hard summer and a long summer. I've eaten a lot. And I said, my weight is as bad as it gets right now. My weight is as bad as it gets. And I can tell you that they can take all the blood they want to take. You can hand me that cup if you want. But I'm telling you, the numbers are not going to be good. You know, sometimes we create our own Red Seas. That ain't even in the notes, but you just, everything I'm about to mention to you, sometimes it's not just, oh, how did this happen? Good. I know how those happen. Mr. Goodbars. I know how those happen Monday when I get home and say, all right, Kelly, it's time for, I'm going to start a diet. It's time. And I come in Wednesday night and Miss Fane brings me cookies. And Miss Kylie brings me cookies, same night. It's more blessed to receive cookies than it is to give cookies. And so, I mean, I don't believe, waste not, want not. So I had to eat them. Because the diet, if I got those eaten, it would start the next day. And I come in this morning, and little Jesse comes up with a baggie. From Caleb and Allison, said, preacher, have a great day. Had four chocolate chip cookies in there. I know what's going on here. All right, y'all kill me, so then Trent gets me pastor and whatever. Now, listen, so what I've got going on, I can fix. The doctor wanted to give me some, I don't know, some prescription. I just denied it at Walmart. I said, I don't want that. Because I know my problem. My problem is the junk that I eat. And Miss Audrey told me I should eat a cucumber yesterday. I said, I'd rather die. I'm 48 years old. I don't eat vegetables. I think I'll start now, all right? Popcorn is a vegetable. Comes from corn. But so I'm joking because I am producing what I got going on. I promise you. But there are a lot of folks in here. You got health trouble. And it's not something you necessarily that you did. Now, if you're smoking 42 packs a day, you can't look up one day with cancer and say, how? All right, no more than I can go to the doctor and she says, "Woo, I can tell you how to solve some of those problems." I know, you're calling me Fatty McButterpants. I know what you're saying, doctor. All right, so, but some of you have health problems and that is your Red Sea. Some of you, it's your home life right now. It's a Red Sea to you. You want to be happy. You want to be at peace. But there are kids that are acting up, or there are teenagers that are not doing right, or maybe there are issues in the marriage. And you're saved, and you're obeying God, and you're listening to God's man, and you're staying in that book. And you know life is supposed to be joyful. You know life is supposed to be abundant in this life. You know that God wants to bless you. But you wake up every day, and there it is right there. Some of you, the Red Sea is your career. It's just not going like you thought it would. I would throw this out there to some of you in here, maybe some of you younger ones, that maybe it's God wanting you to be a preacher. Sometimes things don't go well in certain ways because God's trying to get us to another place in our life. But I know many of you in here, guys and girls, that you have some sort of career and it's just not getting. Or maybe it's not that you're trying to get somewhere. It's just right now, it's a headache to you. There are just troubles at your job. And man, it's a Red Sea. There's no doubt in here that many in here, your Red Sea is finances. Because, man, the fuel prices are up. And the electric bill's up. And groceries are up. And diapers are up. And everything costs more. And the only thing not up is your income. And you say, man, we want to obey God and do right and have our family in church. And I know He said, I'm coming that you might have wife, that you might have it more abundantly. I know He said that your joy might be filled. But right now, I'm looking right here thinking we're never going to survive. You young people, maybe right now your Red Sea is your schoolwork. How many of you have a subject that you do not like? Raise your hand if there's a specific subject that you do not like, okay? That's most people, all right? All right, some of you homeschoolers don't have your hands up. You ain't started school yet. So, but yeah, that, you know, Josh got into college this week. It was his first, well, they haven't even had a full week yet, but he went to his first classes, and then I just kind of coach him to get, you know, time management and things like that. And listen, man, sometimes you think it's going to be a good school year until mom slaps that English in front of you. One thing about your mom, she never said it was going to be a good school year. It's going to be the best year till that math teacher stood up in front of you. Huh? Maybe that's your Red Sea is your schoolwork. I mean, the list could go on and on. The thing is, you know what the Red Sea is. You know what is staring you in the face while you attempt to claim those promises that God has given you. So I want to take the Bible today and try to encourage you to keep moving forward, okay? Listen, there are no magical answers, no magical fixes in life. Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble, okay? There are some situations in our life that are just never going to change. If I'm having trouble financially, I need to do what I can do. The old saying is, work as if everything depended upon you, pray as if everything depended upon God. All right, I can ask God to help me financially, but should He bless my poor stewardship? I can ask God to bless my marriage, but am I doing my part as a spouse? I can ask God to help get my parents off my back, but as a teenager, am I being obedient? Am I honoring them? Am I having the right attitude? I can ask God, would you give me better health? And Lord, I don't want to take that medicine, and I want to feel better, and I want this, but I can't do that while the whole time I'm sitting in line at the donut shop. We ask God to fix things that we're unwilling to lift a finger to fix. But when you're working and you're striving and you're trying, and things just aren't changing, what do you do? Well, what did God tell Moses to tell the children of Israel? Verse 15. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. So I just want to give you just a handful of just biblical tips or biblical advice on handling these times when we're sitting here at this, when we're having this Red Sea moment, and we're like Israel, and we're thinking, "Why, this is it. I guess this is as far as we're ever going to go. We're never going to get to be like that couple over there and that couple." And by the way, the Bible says they comparing themselves among themselves are unwise. Took my wife to eat yesterday, and we were coming back and coming down the highway there, and this fella in this really tall truck with these thin wheels and this boat and all the matching colors. And I said, man, some people just have too much money. And she wisely said this, "No, wait a minute, you don't know if they don't have too much debt." Okay, so be careful about, man, look at what, man, well, whew, we're never going to get there. You might be trying to live simple, and you may just appreciate that 10 years from now. When that other person's loaded down and both are having to work two different jobs, trying to figure out how to pay for that house or pay for that car or pay for that fancy vacation or whatever. I said, don't compare. But how do we handle this? Okay. Number one is this. Excuse me. When we're standing at that Red Sea, we know we're saved. We know we're trying to do things God's way. They're following Moses. They're following the man of God. Over there's the promises. Right here, Red Sea. Number one is this. A little lengthy if you're writing it down. A little lengthy, but number one, never think foolishly that the world has something better to offer than the will of God does. Never begin to think foolishly that the world has something better to offer than the will of God does. I'm preaching this from the Bible. I'm preaching this from experience of people who have the mindset, church just isn't working for me. Now, I could preach all over the place this morning, and I don't have time. I need to stay within the bounds here of the time constraints. But you're watching teenagers, you're watching adults, walking through those doors ain't what's going to help you. I can sit and listen to a speech and sleep halfway through it and forget what was said 2 hours later. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. But sometimes we think the devil will do something like this. He'll say, you know, it's a tough summer and the electric bill, the funds are low and the debt's high, and you begin to look and listen, we spent $15,000 on air conditioners and it didn't hurt us because we had it set aside. We had it laying there. So I'm not saying this like the church needs your money. It's about being right with God. But I'm telling you, even as pastor, what the devil will do sometimes is say, why don't you just add up how much you give to missions, or add how much that tithe check is, and add how much that is, and how much you gave to that, and well, if you didn't have that going on. And we didn't think that way when everything was great. But we've created this debt in our life. We've created this debt in our life most of the time. And now we're at this Red Sea, and the devil says, you just quit that right there. You can use that right there to get right here. Oh, don't ever think it's better outside of the will of God. Amen. Well, I'm telling you what, we've been in church 30 years, and we still have arguments in our marriage. Join the club. Well, we've been in church for 15 years, and our kids, our kid teenager is not right with God, and it's just like church is not working. Again, let's go back to, we've got to do what the Bible says to do. But I realize sometimes that no matter what we're doing right, we come up to that place, and it's like it's never going to get better. I saw one of our little kids this morning throwing a fit. Mama was stressed out. Not my little kids, obviously, but Josh, he watches our morning service. I want to give him a kick out of this when he's an hour ahead of us there. He probably skips his own service, but watching us in his PJs. But I'm going to remind all you parents, when you're standing at that Red Sea, Miss Audie used to call me and say, do you think Josh needs to go to a boys' home? Yeah. Y'all know Josh? He still needs to go to a boys' home. But I'm saying to you, I think, you know, we don't have favorites, but he's not in here. I don't think he's in. No, he's working somewhere else. But I tell you who has grown up to be one of the greatest gentlemen, I think, is Ethan Wagner. Hard working Ethan. But man, he used to walk in this church for Wednesday night offerings as a junior boy. Y'all remember he had the knives and the first aid kits hanging off of him, and he just kind of... How many of you remember that? Yeah. He's a fine young man, and I think that God's going to send him a good wife one day. Alright, but one day, Nicholas, you better be praying too, Nicholas. Huh? I told my wife the other day, of course Misty is my sister-in-law, and I told her the other day, I said, I'm so happy that Misty finally is getting to this place where she doesn't have a bunch of just little babies. She's got these older boys, and if her and Tim will do right, and that, you know, they'll be done. But I guarantee you there were days where Misty Wagner thought she was drowning. Still does, because I know how boys can be. I'm just telling you, never think foolishly that the world has something better to offer than the will of God does. And they foolishly said, is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? If you know the history there, it was very foolish for them to say, we'd rather go back and be slaves in Egypt. Don't you ever quit on church. Don't you ever quit on God. Number two is this. Many of our battles and burdens are just temporary. Many of our battles and burdens, there have been so many things. So many things in ministry that I thought, this is it. I can't do it anymore. I can't be brokenhearted anymore. I can't be stabbed in the back anymore. I can't be let down anymore. It's been many days and then when it passes, you think it can never, ever, nothing can ever surprise me again. Until something does. I heard an old preacher, old mountain preacher years ago up in Arkansas there. I was at a funeral, at a viewing, and the old pastor who was going to do that funeral was actually for Grandpa up there. And the pastor came by some of the family that we were sitting by, and he said, "Sister, I just want to tell you this. Time doesn't heal, but it helps." And you know what? A lot of what we go through, time does help. Yeah, it's always there. But time will help. So a lot of our stuff that we go through, it's temporary. Right? We're going to look back and we made it through. But some of it's a lifetime. But friend, listen, even this life is just temporary, isn't it? Someone once made this wise statement: don't sell out your future on the altar of the immediate. But right now, there's pressure. Do not sell out your future on the altar of the immediate. The Bible says, I don't know if that's 10 there in 2 Corinthians 4, where it talks about our trials. It says they're but for a moment. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are unseen, but the things which are seen are temporal, they're earthly, they're just for a while. But the things which are not seen are eternal. And friend, listen, I need the eternal God to have His powerful hand on my family. I cannot sacrifice being obedient to God, because right now I'm at a Red Sea. I want you to notice there, if you're still in Exodus 14, because this is really where I took the title from. The Bible says in Exodus 14 and verse number 9, but the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them. Notice what it says here: encamping by the sea. This is the only time that word encamping is used in the Bible. You know what encampment means? It means a temporary settlement. He caught them temporarily. Why? Because God already knew the door He was about to open. So we don't sit in this temporary place and make foolish decisions that are going to hurt us the rest of our life, that are going to set our family back, that are going to take us out of church. And in my opinion, what's worse, taking your kids out of church. We have to realize that, you know, eventually this is going to get better. But as the three Hebrew children said, but if not, if we go in that fiery furnace and we burn to death, we're going to burn faithful. If I get pushed into that Red Sea and this is where it all ends, I do what I do to my health, and I know that, and I know that. I know there are things that can change, but if it gets to a place where there's something that, like many of you have, that you can't control that, I'll say this right in front of you. I've said it to my wife a million times. I've said it to my daughter. I know the pain of losing people, but I'm telling you, folks. And I know there are a lot of people that need me for different reasons, but I'm telling you, at 48 years old, 49 in November, if my casket's sitting here this week, don't weep for me. Don't weep for me. Say, but you died at such an early age. Everything we live for is about what's coming. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. Why are we sitting in church with this noose around our neck? And why are we, hey, you got to do it this way, and please God, and do this, and you got to consider what, and you need to be, why are we doing all that if there's just a grave? But now is Christ risen.
Amen.
And I believe He's coming back, and so yes, I'd love to see my kids get older and see what God does in their life, but I could also see that from heaven. I don't have a death wish, but I don't understand people that are afraid to die. I'm for getting help. I'm for what God wants. We're not going to change the bounds of our habitation. Hezekiah did it through prayer, but be careful what you ask for, because when God gave him an extra 15 years is when he raised a son that was not right with God. I'm not saying don't pray for a longer life, but I'm saying, friend, listen, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And if you really believe that, friend, then yes, we can get through some trials in this life. But if my whole life is weighted down with trials, what is it, 70 years, 80 years, 60 years, 90 years? But I'm going to be in heaven forever. Most of our battles and burdens are temporary. They weren't there to stay, and God did not bring them there to die. And there's still a God in heaven that'll help me with my health, that'll help me with my finances, that'll help me with my marriage, that'll help me with my parenting, that'll help me with my schoolwork, that'll help me with my pastoring, that'll help me with my ministry. Yes, right now maybe there's a Red Sea, but I'm not going back to the world. And I know from experience, then when we think this, we're just not getting through this one, we can look back and say, we got through the last one. Number three is this. What do we do during times of trial? Number three is this. Stand still and let God guide your next move. Stand still and let God guide your next move. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. I just don't understand why it has to be this way. I just don't understand what I'm going to do next. I just don't understand what tomorrow holds. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. And He shall direct your paths. My health, my finances, my parents, my wife, my kids, me. My finances, my son in college, my ministry, all the concerns, all the this, all the that. You know the weight that we talk about? And the Bible says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Here's the thing. God does not work in the exact same way or in the exact same timing in every individual life. Fear not. Stand still. See the salvation of the Lord, which He will show to you today. I want to remind you of something that I years ago showed you, and I've said this over the years. Maybe some of you have never heard it. But if you go do the study, right here in our text, in the time of Moses, what happened to that Red Sea? God parted the water. They walked across on dry ground. But then came the days of Joshua. And it was time to cross that Jordan River. And God did not part that and they walked on dry ground. God said, when the priest's feet step into the water, then I'll split it, then I'll dry that ground. And what did Peter get to do? He just gets to walk on the water. Stop comparing notes with someone else. Why did my spouse have to die? Why did that happen in my child's life? Why did that happen with my health? Why are our finances this way? Hey, all His ways are past finding out, but you cannot. It's foolish again to compare. We can encourage one another. We can pray for one another, but don't try to compare notes. Don't try to compete over who's had it worse and who's got this and who's got that. Friend, listen, we all face Red Seas, and God has many different ways of us getting through those Red Seas. I love what the writer said in Romans, what Paul said in Romans 11:33. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. I know there on the cross, Jesus said, my God, why? But you never heard a voice from heaven saying, this is why. And we may live the rest of our life, why this and why that? And why did it happen this way? And why did it happen that way? But we have to just trust You know, God allowed it, and maybe I caused it, but I'm still a child of God, and He still loves me. And if He took them through that Red Sea to that promised land, He promised me joy. He promised me a fulfilled Christian life. I know right now we look like we're about to drown, but there is a way across that Red Sea. Let God show it to you. Number four is this. I think it's good advice for all of us. Hold your peace unless it's praise. Hold your peace unless it's praise. I don't understand why we have so many attention seekers in the world today that think the world has to know what's going on in their life. Doesn't make sense to me. The Bible says in Exodus 14:14, what He told them, the Lord shall fight for you and ye shall hold your peace. Now, why do you think He told them to be quiet? I think I know the answer. I think because if you read back two or three chapters, every time they faced a trial, all they did was act and talk like God was dead. I think the children of Israel in chapters 12 and 13 and 14 there, as they're coming out of Egypt, I believe they would have had social media. They would have been posting, I guess today's day we'll just not eat. Yeah. I'm sure there'd be somebody posting something about, well, not everybody goes through what we go through, but we go through it. So everybody can go, what are they going through? So I think this time, whenever they started, oh, we're going to die, we're not going to make it, we should have just been here. And God says, Moses, just tell them, be quiet. We need to learn to hold our peace unless it's praise. Unless it's saying, man, I thank God. Not this crazy stuff, not this manipulative stuff. I just thank God for supplying my blessings. And I know He's going to supply this need this time too. ... smiley face. So that everybody can go, what's the need? Now, I haven't been on social media in 10 or 11 months now. Been great peace. But I know how social media is. Hold your peace unless it's praise. The Red Sea is a great opportunity to build a great testimony of faith. But it can also be a vulnerable place where we lose our testimony. Let me give you the last one. Keep moving forward by faith, trusting that God is in control. Keep moving forward by faith. He told them, tell the children of Israel, speak to the children of Israel, that they go forward. We don't have to understand it. We don't have to appreciate it. But we do have to live by faith during our trials if we want to please Him. 1 Peter 1 talks about the trying of our faith. We go through many trials and seasons of trials, those temporary times. It's a testing of our faith. Hebrews 11 tells us in verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please Him. What do you do, preacher? Well, I keep doing what I know is right. I keep obeying God. I pray, I seek counsel, I seek wisdom, but I'm not, by the grace of God, I'm not drowning in this sea. I'm going to do what I can for my health. I'm going to do what I can for my finances. I'm going to do what I can for my career. I'm going to do what I can to make my kids act better. I'm going to do what I can to make my marriage better. I'm going to do what I can to make this friendship better. I'm going to do what I can to make the ministry better. But then I'm going to beg, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to beg God, God, would you show me the path? Show me the way, because you said I'm come that you might have life, you might have it more abundantly. Now I'm saying to you folks, we're going to have those Red Sea moments. We're going to have those really, sometimes some really dark times in our life. That is not time to go back to the world. That is not time to quit. That is not time to make bad posts and text and walk around with our head down. Man, that's a time to honor and glorify God. Say, I know that God is in control. This grandson wrote this little story about his grandfather. He said, in 1932, my grandfather, the grandfather's name was A.M. Overton. He was a pastor of a church in Mississippi with a wife and three small children. His wife was pregnant with their fourth child, but when it came time for delivery, there were complications. And both she and the baby died. During the funeral service, another preacher was officiating the service. He said he noticed that my grandfather was writing something on a piece of paper during the service. After the service, the minister asked Brother Overton about it. He said, "What was that you were writing there?" And Brother Overton handed that preacher this paper, and here's what he wrote. "My father's way may twist and turn. My heart may throb and ache. But in my soul, I'm glad I know he maketh no mistake. My cherished plans may go astray. My hopes may fade away. But still I'll trust my Lord to lead, for he doth know the way. Though night be dark and it may seem that day will never break, I'll pin my faith, my all in him. He maketh no mistake. There's so much now I cannot see. My eyesight's far too dim. But come what may, I'll simply trust and leave it all to him. For by and by the mist will lift, and plain it all he'll make. Through all the way, though dark to me, he made not one mistake." The songwriter wrote this song. We sing it, I believe, from time to time out of our songbook. Listen to these words and I'll be done. "All the way my Savior leads me. What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in him to dwell. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. All the way my Savior leads me, cheers each winding path I tread, gives me grace for every trial, feeds me with the living bread. Though my weary steps may falter, and my soul athirst may be, gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. All the way my Savior leads me. Oh, the fullness of his love, perfect rest to me is promised in my Father's house above. When my spirit, clothed immortal, wings its flight to realms of day, this my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way." All the way. Can you imagine that? All the way my Savior leads me. You know who wrote that? Fanny Crosby. Blind. Sometimes our trials will allow us to be used by God to help others if we'll let it. Or we'll just sit there and say, "This is my trial, this is my battle, this nobody understands, and nobody else can understand," and just live that way. We say, "You know what? It happened. I'm going to see what God can do to help me to help others down the road." A blind lady writes a song, "All the way my Savior leads me." Wow. I wonder if you're in camping by the sea this morning. It's temporary. Even if it's just this life, it's temporary in light of eternity. But most likely, for the most part, what's going on in many people's lives, it's just for a while. It's for a season, as Peter said, those manifold temptations. Trust God to guide you through. You think about Fanny Crosby, I'll say this. It's not blind faith. It's biblical faith. It's not just, "Well, I'm just going to, well, whatever, God, whatever." It's no, no, no. It's those disciples on the Sea of Galilee, when the Bible says the reason they were so afraid is because they considered not the loaves and fishes, because they instead of having faith, biblical faith, and saying, "You know what, when everybody thought they were going to starve to death here, God provided. Do you think God can get us across this Sea of Galilee?" So he wasn't asking for blind faith. Just shut up and trust me and live life as a robot. No, he says, "Hey, get in my word, and faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and trust me. And yes, you might be at a Red Sea right now, but I've got a plan for your life, and I've got a way across this Red Sea, and I may make it dry, and you may have to step in by faith first. You may just slide across it, but that's between God and you and what God does in your life. But I'm saying to you, don't make foolish decisions when you're standing at that Red Sea. I wonder how many today could say with an uplifted hand, "Preacher, I know that I'm saved and on my way to heaven." You slip your hand up, "Preacher, I remember the day I trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior."